to Radio PRS. I'm your co-host, Mike Ransom. Radio PRS is brought to you by the Psychic Research Society of Kansas City. PRS is a not-for-profit organization whose purposes include programs and activities to investigate, study, research, demonstrate, discuss, interpret, and expand information concerning psychic phenomena, parapsychology, and related subjects, and to disseminate information by any and all media of communication. The Psychical Research Society is not just an organization for those who practice the intuitive arts. We are here for anyone who is interested in exploring subjects covered in our mission statement. If you'd like more information on becoming a member, please visit our website at prskc.org. Our guest this evening is author, intuitive, and Reiki master, L.M. Vitt. You can call in and talk with L.M. and Nikki this evening at 646-668-8212. Now, here's your host, Nikki Williams.
Good evening, Mike. How are you this evening?
How are you?
I'm pretty good. I think it's a lovely day here in Kansas City, and hopefully to be followed by many more wonderful fall days. Happy autumn, everyone. Happy Maybon to my pagan friends. Blessed be. I'm very excited about our guest this evening. Larissa has been with us a couple of different times on the show. And as a matter of fact, last year she won our award for Guest of the Year for bringing the most number of listeners. She is an amazing author who has been working on the second book in the Dragon Squadron trilogy. And we are going to talk a little bit about the first book for those of you who haven't had the chance to hear her talk about it yet or haven't read it yet. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about the second book. We're also going to talk about a fitness blog that she's going to be starting soon that is geared towards trans women. And we're also going to be talking, doing some angel readings tonight. So you can call in for a reading with Larissa and myself at 646-668-8212. So welcome, Larissa.
Hi, how are you?
I am fabulous. It's so good to have you back again.
I'm glad to be back. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you are very, very welcome. I'm so excited. I know that right now in many ways, and I say this not to have a pun in place, but you're going through a lot of transition yourself right now.
Yes.
But at this point in time, and it seems to also be spurring a great deal of spiritual growth in your life, and also a great deal of creativity, as I've been fortunate enough to be privy to the process that you're going through with your second book in the trilogy. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about, I think it's been several months since you've been on the show. I think it was December, but it's been longer since we talked about the books and everything. Tell us a little bit about how it is going forward right now, where you find yourself spiritually on your path.
Actually, it's kind of weird because it's coming in little spurts because I feel that I've got a drive to go forward. I feel that I need to go forward. But just like in anything we do, there's always these little obstacles. And we feel like we're hitting a wall. But the more I think about it, the more it comes to me. These walls are little obstacles, and they're designed to be there for a reason. And it's not... it's not to figure out how to overcome. It's how we interpret the walls and how we allow ourselves to deal with these little obstacles. It's how we allow ourselves to react to these little obstacles. And that's a growing process in itself, and it's something that I'm becoming very much aware of, especially recently. And I'm personally learning how to deal with.
Right. Right. And you know what? I think you're right. We feel like we're hitting a wall, just like you said, when we get to those points in our lives where it's just like, okay, stop. And you're like, no,
exactly.
But I was on a path. I had a place I was headed towards. But yeah, there is a reason for those
exactly.
Little obstacles. And I think sometimes I like to call them detours. You know, sometimes maybe there's construction ahead. And we get
a
to take the scenic route for a little while. We get to take the scenic route for a little while. I think it gives us a new appreciation of how far we've come and yet how much there is that we can still learn and grow and expand.
A lot of times we forget to stop and look at how far we've come. We have that, we know where we want to be, and we have that drive to be there. And we have, and then we also feel that we're frustrated because we're not exactly where we are and where we want to
yeah.
be. But we often forget to stop and take a moment, turn around and look how far you've come. Be proud of your accomplishments. And I'm very guilty of this. I got to make myself stop and look around and, oh, wow, I used to be here and now I'm here and okay.
Yeah. You know, and that's a moment that I think a lot of us come to those points when we feel a bit, we're guilty of that, all of us, I think, from time to time. But it is kind of relieving when you can look back and go, wow, I didn't even realize how far I'd come. And you can be proud of yourself for that. It's okay to be proud of yourself for that. It's part of that self-love that we learn along the way, I think.
Exactly. And, you know, it's part of that. Self-love is something we forget to do. Either we do it all the time to the point where it's annoying everybody else, or we're so selfless we're so selfless for everybody else that we don't stop and spend a moment for ourselves. And
yes.
Everybody knows that we are our own worst critics. So that it's time to stop and take some honest to goodness self love and appreciate yourself.
Yes, that's very true. And you know, you have a lot to appreciate right now. I really think I definitely appreciate you. But let's talk a little bit about, along with the spiritual journey, you've been taking your characters and your story along with you. I think it's a journey you all take together. Let's start a little bit with the first book, which I fell in love with, and you created this. I'm going to let you do the talking about it, but I just want to say that you've created this brilliant world that mixes the mystical and the magical along with the modern in a way that I don't think has been done very often in literature. Let's talk a little bit about that book first. I don't want you to give too much away for those who haven't read it, because I really want to encourage people to read the book and so that they can get ready for the second book, and also so they can see that the book itself, to me, the books kind of also in their own way are a spiritual journey. But let's talk a little bit about, just for those who don't know yet, give us a brief synopsis of what we're looking at with that first book with Dragon Squadron.
Dragon Squadron starts off with a character named Connor, and Connor is an elf who has been around for several thousands of years. He's seen a lot of things, great wars. He's seen automobiles come around. He's seen flight. He used to be a dragon rider. He lost his dragon to a great sacrifice, and he's also seeing another change. Back long time ago in a galaxy not so far away, there was magic that was readily available here on this Earth, and the clans of elves and dwarves decided that it was time for mankind to take up the Earth and take up their journey and their spot here on this planet, wherein they decided to go back to the cosmos in which they came and leave the Earth to mankind. It belongs to them. But in the process, they decided that it would probably be the best idea if they put magic away in its toy box so we couldn't do what we like to do and blow ourselves up. It gets
released. We do like to do that, don't we?
We do like to blow ourselves up, yes. But it gets released, and there's a small group of humans, human women mostly, that join the elves and the dwarves and pretty much usher in a brand new age of magic that starts from the modern day of now. There's vintage World War II aircraft, goblins come back. There's epic battles in the air and on the ground, and it's everything that makes a story perfect. There's love, romance, action, adventure, a little comedy. You know, it's a little bit of everything.
Yes, and I got to tell you, your characters are so well fleshed out. And, oh, you talk about Connor. I fell in love with Connor. I don't think there are many women who wouldn't fall in love with that character. But I also love the fact that you put such great emphasis on what I consider female empowerment in your book.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not about the female empowerment, but they are there. I mean, I don't want to put one point over another, but I want to make sure it's noticeable to where there's an equilibrium, and it's mentioned. I do have a transgender character, and towards the end of the book, I'd say the last half, the beginning of the last quarter, maybe. And it's not about her being a transgender. It's the fact that she does what she does, and she's an awesome character who just happens to be transgender. And that's what it's about. I don't want to push a particular agenda, but I want a character to be there and to be accepted by their peers and be a part of a group. It's like my situation. I don't want to be just a transgendered person. I want to be a woman who is an author, is an artist, Reiki master, intuitive, who just happens to be transgender, and just like anybody else who just happens to be who they are. That's just
exactly
what it is. I don't want anything special. I just want what everybody else has. And that's the same thing with the character Jamie. That's what she just wants to be like everybody else in her own way.
She just wants to be Jamie.
Exactly.
I got that right off the bat, and she is very Jamie, very brilliantly Jamie.
Oh, but wait till the next book.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you've already had that sneak peek.
Yes.
You've already had that sneak peek, yeah.
I have. I'm privy to things that other people are not, and I'm very fortunate for that. And I'm very on the edge of my seat. But in talking about the first book, I want to congratulate you on such a beautiful and deep and intense world and cast of characters and a plot line that begins to unfold in that story.
Thank you.
Both beautifully and yet at times tragically, the story of the bad guy in a way broke my heart.
Because and a lot of it is most what we see as evil doesn't plan or expect to be. It just, you know, we as human beings make choices. Sometimes they're not the best. Sometimes we're putting the circumstances beyond our control, and things happen. And that's part of the tragedy of it. Things just happen. And this particular character was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Had all these
great intentions.
Yes, he truly did. And I'm trying not to give things away, but I really felt that he was a good intentioned character, and he was a good man. And to see the, I don't want to say the corruption, in a way, yes, but the fall of a good person.
And that's exactly what the metaphor is. That's exactly what the metaphor is. There's good intentions, and regardless of what happened, there's a lot of really good, strong men who this, by whatever situation they fall into, whatever they're trying to make a living for themselves, a better life for them and their families, get into a bad spot, make bad decisions, and end up not on the good side of things.
Yeah, one of the characters that comes to mind is Walter White from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, exactly.
He's one of those characters, the ultimate like anti-hero, and he becomes a horrible human being. But yet still with the best of intentions, which is another reason why that's so tragic. But, I think that in those characters, we can see a little bit of our own shadow, because we all have it. Those of us with the brightest lights frequently cast the darkest and longest shadows. But, we can relate to that. No one is pure good, and no one is pure evil. We all have different shades of gray that we inhabit. And I think by confronting a character in that situation, in a way we confront part of ourselves, and we confront a part of our own fear of, wow, if that can happen to someone that good and that benevolent and that well-intentioned,
exactly.
I need to be
careful
with my actions and my words. And I think Donald Trump to read that book.
Well, it's all about it boils down to mindfulness. You just need to be mindful of your thoughts, your actions, and your intentions.
Yes.
You know, if you intend good, you need to follow through with those same thoughts and actions.
Yes.
It's very simple.
Very true. So let's talk a little bit about the second book, which I know it's not quite ready yet.
No.
In my opinion, it's coming along beautifully. But let's talk a little
bit
about where that journey is going to take us. I know that we ended the first book on a cliffhanger, won't say what. Talk to us a little bit about some of the changes that maybe the characters find going on within themselves, and not necessarily in a context of plot, but at least in the context of themselves spiritually.
The characters are going to find themselves where they're going to make some really, really tough decisions. Not all of the decisions are going to turn out the way they should or where we'd like them to. But I will give you a sneak peek. A major character passes away. We lose a character. But there's always loss and rebirth in every great story, and it's part of that. We're going to have the main characters of the book is focusing on is Amanda and Jamie. They are the youngest characters in the story. The romance between Connor and Izzy is blossoming, but Jamie and Amanda are going to have the hardest time. They have a connection. The two have a great connection and are best of friends. And it's a search for themselves and a search for each other that doesn't quite get there. And we have that also. We spend our lives looking for our soulmates, and we don't always find them, and it's okay. Sometimes we find our soulmates, and we realize that in this lifetime we did not get a chance to meet again, and that's okay. And that's what this part of the story. I wouldn't say this book. This part of the story. I mean, it's all one big epic adventure, and this part of the adventure is about not quite getting where they need to be. And that's how my life seems to be going. It's a reflection of me as well as so many other people. We just don't, no matter how hard we try, we just don't quite get where we need to go. And that's okay, because it's not about getting where you're going. It's about learning what you need to know along the way.
Yes,
and that's
heard
what the character's going to mean.
It's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
Exactly. Correct.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why epic stories tend to be so popular with in society is we see that reflected in them. We see, even when they do get to where they set out for, maybe the end result when they get there isn't necessarily the same, but it's the growth and the development and the joy and the triumph, but yet the tragedy and the harrowing difficulties, that's what it's about. And that's what it tends to be about for us.
Well, when you get to the end of an epic book, an epic novel, we'll take Lord of the Rings, for example, wonderful works of J.R.R. Tolkien, that last page, you're like, wow, it's over with. Look
like the day after Christmas.
You know, you look for that. When you open up the book to begin with, you look for that continuing journey. What's going to happen next? When you get to the end, there is no what happens to the next. It's the end. And that's what that's what makes a good book, is when you sit down and you open the book and you're reading the story and you want to know what happens next. You put the book down and you can't wait to pick it up again because you want to know what the characters are going to do next. They're like your best friends. You want to call them up and say, hey, what you doing? It's the same thing. Once you hit that, once you get to that point where there is nothing left, they live happily ever after, the whole process of learning and the how they're going to get from point A to point B, or how they're going to solve this problem, the whole epic battle from the inner turmoil of character one and character two, that's what keeps people engrossed in stories. And
yes,
it's not about the last page. It's about not about the first page. It's about the pages in between.
Yeah.
Life is the same way.
Yeah, it very much is. And you know what's funny about that, and I may be the only person who does this, but sometimes I'll read the end of the book first. Because I've always, it's never bothered me. I don't consider it a spoiler, in my own opinion. Because for me, that is what the book is about, is all the stuff getting there. And I might get anxious and go, oh, look at the end of the book. Okay, that's what happens. But how do I get there? How did I get to this point? How did we all get to this point? And that's you're right about it. You're so right about that. That's where the truth of the story is, in the meat of it.
That's what the story is all about. It's not about, you know the knight is going to save the fairy princess and, you know, rescue the damsel in distress. You just want to know how he does it.
Yes. Yes. And all the little romance bits too, those are nice.
Yes.
Gotta love those. So let's talk a little bit, but before we go on to our next little subject, tell me what it is you think you've learned so far just by writing this story, in the process of writing the story, bringing it to life.
Oh, patience.
Amen to that.
And in so many different ways. It took me a couple years to write the book. It took me probably 2-3 times that long to get it published, and finally I had to, I ended up self-publishing. And then from there, it was patience about, I had to learn patience, I had to be reminded patience constantly, to wait for the right time. Sales are still slow. But that's okay. Story is solid. It's just a matter of people finding out about this epic adventure. And I hope everybody listening tonight will say, oh, gotta have it.
Yes,
it'll help
and you
me.
Do. Trust me, guys. You gotta have it. You gotta have it.
The, you know.
Yeah.
And it's patience
is a virtue.
Is just so much needed. And I've learned that so many people do not have patience, and I find that odd.
I'm one of those.
You don't understand. I come over here to the big city from the city of Belton, and there's just people who want it now and want it then and there, and I'm like, how do you survive? You know,
you have to
wait 30 seconds for meal to heat up in the microwave. How can you wait that long? You know, I actually turned off the television this evening and actually picked up a book and actually did spent a few minutes reading. And it was very nice. It was time to stop and slow things down. And it was another thing about patience. We are in a society where we have to have immediate gratification. You know, you go to the drive-thru window and somebody hands you a burger. You get so upset if you got to wait 30 seconds for your cheeseburger to come out that window. You pay for your gasoline at the pump because you can't walk 100 feet into the station to hand them $20 to put in your gas tank. It's all about instant gratification. If we stopped and thought about spending the time to, instead of watching a movie, reading a book, you get to envision everything so much better in your own head instead of somebody else's idea. And unlike a movie, it's not over in 2 hours, unless you're some freak of a speed reader, which I know people like that. But you get to enjoy and savor that story for so much better. We've gotten away from reading newspapers. We watch the CNN and get our news instantly.
If you can call it news.
If you can call it, yeah,
CNN,
exactly.
Fox, MSNBC, I call it more entertainment than anything.
Yeah, exactly. I think the news is better on public television than some of these other stations. But, you know, we have our Nooks and our Kindles and our tablets, and, yeah, everything's instant.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's better to take the time and learn the patience and flip a page and, you know, actually cut your meat up and cook your vegetables, grow your vegetables. There's so much more satisfaction if you take a little time to do something instead of rushing around all day and losing.
Yes.
Just, it's a waste. It's a waste if you can't stop it.
And it kind of reminds me of the old cliche of anything worth doing is worth doing well. And in my opinion, frequently, that takes time to really do it well and to enjoy the process and then be able to take pride in the accomplishment of it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one thing I've had to learn. I wanted to get out of retail, and I was upset, and I'm tired of making money for somebody else. So I decided to write a book and come up with this great story. I come up with a great story, and I'm like, wow, I should have people knocking down my door and just begging me to publish it. No, it's not always the case. You have to have patience. And the right time, at the right moment, the book will launch and take off, and it'll become its own cult classic. And that's what I've had to learn. It's part of that process, and in the time of learning the patience, there's other things you get to partake in and spend the time and learn. We only live to about 80 years old, but it's not how much we do in that lifetime. It's the quality of things we do in that time that we're here. And that's, I'm learning to enjoy sitting down and writing and putting thoughts down onto a keyboard and coming up with a story that I would have bought and read as a kid, you know, and then taking the time and learning that if it's going to be done correctly, it'll be done when it's ready to be done. Time sooner, no time later, and there's no sense of worrying about it or trying to rush it or trying to get frustrated because it's not happening during your time. There's that whole divine time. It'll happen when it's ready to happen, and that's
so
when it'll be the most rewarding.
So true, so true. Yeah, a lot of wisdom there, girl, a lot of wisdom there. So speaking of Kindle, you are soon going to be launching the Kindle version of the book. Am I correct?
We will be yes, we are working on the Kindle version. I and an editor are working on the Kindle version. Basically, since I've self-published, I have to learn how to put it on the Kindle myself, and it's all about formatting. And I figured I'd take this opportunity now that I have to reformat the whole thing for Kindle to go through it and edit it and make sure everything is perfect. If there's anything I need to add or change, this is the time to fix what I wanted to fix and needed to fix in the first place. So that's what we're going through now. We're in the process of sprucing up the story, and we'll be releasing it for Kindle soon. My Facebook page, Larissa M. Vitt, author page, I think you're on that.
I am.
I'll be launching it, and I will have more information as it comes along on my page.
Wonderful.
On Facebook. Yep.
Wonderful. Let me remind our guests, our listeners, you can call in tonight. We're going to be doing some readings. If you just got to call in and get them at 646-668-8212. We're talking tonight with author and intuitive and Reiki master and artist, and the list goes on and on. L.M. Vitt, Larissa, she is, I got to say, you are, to me, you're a very inspirational person. Now, I do know, we did talk a little bit about you being a transgender woman, but you have, you're working on coming up with a fitness blog for geared towards transgender women. So let's talk a little bit about that, because I think this is really neat. So I'm assuming you saw a need for this. And
my own personal need. Male to female, I started a lot later in life than kids are nowadays, and I find it so amazing that families and parents are so open and they're accepting of their young transgendered children, whether male to female or female to male. I find that amazing. We didn't have that growing up. They didn't know what to think. So I started much, much later in life, and in doing so, the hormones have a tendency, when you stop in the middle of your life and switch gears, your hormones are going, I don't know what the heck to think, and there's weight gain involved. 6 years in the military, I decided when I got out of the military, I was never going to run again in my life. No way. If I was running, you better be running too, but there's something much bigger than me behind me. It wasn't going to happen. And in doing so, I've gained a lot of weight, and I'm not happy with my size and shape. There's a lot of, I would say, testosterone damage. There's a lot of work that testosterone has done to my body that I'm trying, that I would like to reverse, and there's a lot more muscle there than I would like to have. So my fitness blog is going to be geared towards another journey of mine, not just a physical journey or an emotional spiritual journey, which there will be some aspects of that in my blog, but it's going to be specifically geared towards the male-to-female transgendered women who are having the problems that I'm having with weight gain and motivation to get healthy. I've done this for several reasons. One is to help others in their journeys, because I see the need for it, because I have the need for it myself. You go online and you read books, and there's helpful hints for women to lose weight. There's helpful hints for men to lose weight. But what if you're going from one side to the other? It's not really much there. I've looked. So this is an opportunity for me to explore, ask questions, seek answers, and share this side of the journey specifically to other male to female transgenders. And if anybody else who is happy with where they are and they're not transgender, they can get some kind of helpful ideas, something they can use in their life, that's even better. It's also going to hold me accountable in my own personal journey. If I go change my diet for a more healthy diet, although pizza is my kryptonite, almost anything Italian and Mexican, if I can come up with a healthy alternative, if I can lose weight, start walking, and become more active and slim down into a more feminine figure, this is a way for myself to hold myself accountable, because I'm writing about all this stuff. I better be doing it also.
Understandably.
I am a disabled veteran.
That would promote accountability, definitely.
It's hard for me being a disabled veteran. I have severe arthritis in my knees, ankles, and hips.
Thank you for your service. Thank you.
When I hear that, it really makes me feel amazing, and I have no, you're welcome, I don't know. I would do it again, and I guess there's a lot of transgender, that's a new thing. Transgenders are now, women and men are now serving in the military. I think that's amazing.
I do too.
That's another big step. But as a disabled veteran, I have a hard time exercising and getting as physical as I need to get. So if I can't go run 5 or 10 miles, I need to figure something else out. And that's another those are alternatives and answers that I'm asking and seeking in my blog. How does estrogen, stuff like how does estrogen affect the thyroid? Slow down the metabolism. What can you do to speed the metabolism while you're doing the hormonal transition? It's little things like this that I want to explore and find out through my blog, and I want to remind the listeners that by no means am I a medical expert. This blog is about my personal journey and what I find is going to work for me. I am by no means, this is that legal disclosure. I'm not a doctor, but I will be searching. I will probably do some interviews with some doctors and post on the blog.
That's a wonderful idea.
You know, if later on down the road, if I can find a female to male, a trans man to help me with some ideas, I would most I'd love to have their help and input as well. There'll be a comments page.
Yeah.
I want to hear what my readers go through, what my readers know, and just not just it's me bringing the information out and helping other people open up and talk. It's all about communication.
Wonderful, and I commend you for it. I think that's an awesome. I think I love it when I see someone who says, I see a need here. I see a need not only in myself but in society, and I'm going to be the one to try and step up and not just, you know, because, yes, it is your journey, but it's like you said, you want to help other people as well. And so I commend you for that, and I think that and knowing what I do of you, that's just so you.
I'm just me.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that. I think that's one of the reasons that your books are so phenomenal is that comes through in your writing of the plots and the characters and it does it comes through. Shakespeare said it best: "To thine own self be true."
Yeah, there's a lot of me in that book, and there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Write what you know, and it came from the heart. It came from me. But I also feel the divine inspiration as I write, because I would write a page and I go back and I'd read it and I'm like, what? I wrote this? This is amazing.
Isn't that a neat feeling? That's a neat feeling.
Yeah, it's like, where was I when I wrote this? I can't remember thinking. It's just, wow. So yeah,
I can never understand when actors, for example, say, I never watch my own movies. Oh, and that's their decision. That's fine. But I'm like, no, I'd be watching. I'd be going, really? I did that? for example, I watch my own videos of my own musical performances, and yes, I do it to critique myself, but I also do it to go, huh, not bad. I'm getting better. Look at that. I don't think it's arrogant in any way. I think it's constructive, and I think it's healthy.
You got to have that self-love, and we are, like I've said before, we are our own critics, but if you don't stop and look at something objectively and give yourself a chance to notice what you can do, you can't believe in yourself later on down the road. You can't have the confidence that you need to have to accomplish whatever you need to accomplish.
Very true. Very
you need to accomplish.
It's something that I used to try to instill in my speech and debate kids. You need to videotape your performances. You need to watch them yourself. You need to be able to see what you need to improve and what you have improved and how far you've come. Go back and watch your performances of your practices from 2 years ago and notice the differences, notice the growth, and be proud of that. And
almost definitely,
pride in this,
yeah.
Yeah, the pride in the situation doesn't mean I'm so much better than everyone else. No, it means being able to take pride in the accomplishment and the journey, like we talked about earlier, the journey that, wow, I really am growing and changing and becoming and unfolding.
Yeah, and you can look back on it, especially with your debate team. If you're, you know, you can see the confidence if you can see your own confidence as you go along, you can step up into a debate and say, I got this.
Yes.
And, you know, the strength of the mind is amazing. If you know you got it, you got it.
Yeah, very much so. Confidence is an important thing. It really is. And my mother always taught me, when you walk into a room, walk with your head held high. And be glad that you were there, but be glad for other people that they get to be there when you are.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I always tell people that, when I leave someplace, I always say, hey, glad you got to see me, you know.
Yes, that's
and,
right.
And it's kind of
that's
the same
right.
thing, you know.
Yeah. So you are a Reiki master, and
yes.
Reiki is, I am as well. And actually, recently we had Nikao Usui's Reiki Crystal of Awakening attunements from Dear Heart Energy on the show. That was a lot of fun. So tell me, I want to try to get a big picture. How has Reiki in itself helped you on this journey, on all of this journey, whether it be your journey as a trans woman or your journey as an author or a spiritual journey? How has that affected it?
Confidence and accomplishment is a major part of healing. To be somebody who has no confidence, to feel that they have nothing and are nobody, to do something simple and small to help somebody else gives somebody a confidence. That's just above no other. It's really, really hard to explain and describe, but when I started this journey 10 years ago, I was very paranoid. I always thought that people were always laughing and talking about me. But as part of Reiki, going through all my three steps and becoming a Reiki master, you know that you can help other people, and to know that you have the ability to heal, to have the ability to help just a little bit in somebody's migraine, is a big confidence booster. And it's not one of those things that, oh, I can do this, I'm so much better than you. And no, it's just that it gives you a sense of purpose. And when you have that sense of purpose, and everybody has a sense of purpose or they wouldn't be here in the first place, but a lot of people don't remember or don't understand what their purpose is. And we have more than one purpose in life. But to have that sense of purpose that Reiki has given me has also helped me have the confidence and the focus to achieve other things.
Yes. And you've helped with my migraines on occasion, too, so thank you very much.
Yes.
You know, I loved it when I first got my very first attunement, and I've described this before, I think, on the show. It was almost like the euphoria of, I'm going to say it, being stoned for the first time.
I agree.
Yeah, the colors were brilliant. The sounds were perfect and intense, and everything I tasted better and smelt better and felt better. It was an eye-opening, I'm going to say, I guess, in a spiritual way, experience. And I suddenly understood at a deeper level for the first time just what I was a part of.
Oh, I agree.
And what I was one with.
Reiki is... Even if you don't, if you're not a Reiki practitioner for a profession, practicing Reiki on stuff as simple as a tree or your friend who has who tells you you have a migraine. You are in touch with the universe more. You're more aware of being in touch with the universe. Everybody's in touch with the universe at the same level, but as a Reiki practitioner, you're more aware of it. And being aware of that, when you stop and set yourself out and you focus and you're doing your meditation, you can almost feel the buzzing of the world around you. It is magic, you know. That's the only way I can describe it. It is a real magic that most people would only experience through fairy tales.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly, and I find it to be helpful, aiding in everything. And I know that one of the things that we're taught is that Reiki is healing on all levels, the physical, the emotional, the mental, the spiritual. And even in that healing, it's healing of the illusion of separateness. I don't think it completely dissipates because we still, you know, these physical separate bodies in general, but it's still an illusion of separateness. And I think that experiencing Reiki as a practitioner, as a master, as even just someone receiving the Reiki, because I received Reiki treatments on several occasions before I had my first attunement, but I even had that sense during those times of that, of losing that illusion, those walls kind of dropping away, and that sense of, yeah, that we really are all one, this is all one, and wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm one of those people who have a tendency to turn the lights off and get ready for bed, and then my brain just does not shut down. And so
I decide
to think about everything. So I come up, I'm thinking, you know, and I'm contemplating the whole life, universe, and everything, something out of a Douglas Adams book. And I started thinking the concept of past lives. And I had a really wise friend told me that there really is no past life because time does not exist. It is something that mankind created to help label everything and to help our feeble little biological brains to wrap around things. The sun goes up, the sun goes down, that's time. So
yes,
our past lives. And I got to thinking so profoundly. I was like, well, if that's the case, why couldn't we live some of our past lives be our future lives since there is no time? And I'm like, wow, that's pretty profound. And then I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, if that's the case, what if we're living all our lives simultaneously?
Yeah. See, now you're
again,
talking. Again. It's kind of like a page of a book.
Yes, exactly. But at the same time, if we are living all our lives at the same time, what if what I'm experiencing with me, what if at the same time I want to experience being you or the family dog or a tree, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, this is how we are all one.
Amen to that.
I'm like, and it was just an amazing where we are all one, and everybody is experiencing everything all at the same, simultaneously, past, present, and future. So when somebody gets rude to me, because I still work retail, because I got to pay the bills, you know, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But when somebody comes to me and they're rude, or I'm in line at the restaurant, whatever. That is me. That is me. That is you. That is how we want to experience ourselves. That particular part of us wants to experience. And then it reminded me of that Beatles song, "I Am the Walrus." I am you or you are me, and we are all together.
Yes.
And I'm like,
that is so, well, I hadn't even thought of
so
that one.
Okay, so now I sound like I'm so crazy, but it's one of those weird crazies that if you stop and you think about it, or you stop and don't think about it, it makes perfect sense.
Yes.
I am you, you are me, and we are all together.
We are all
two
together.
Two people,
too. Which goes to another Beatles song, All Together Now. Wow. Well, this is an incredible conversation, Kaylee. I got to tell you, I'm loving this. We haven't got any callers tonight for readings. Their loss. I'm going to pull a card, and I'm going to read, give you an angel message. I would appreciate it if you'd return the kindness, if that's okay with you. I'm going to leave that up to you.
That is fine.
Wonderful. Well, the card I've pulled for you is Serena, and you're going to love this, girl. I am the angel of abundance. You will receive
that's
the money
really good
that
to
you
know.
Need. You will receive the money that you need, and God is in charge of how that will happen. Have faith.
And that's pretty amazing because me, I feel like I don't need the money. There's other things I need, but money is the way to get those. And, yeah, it's that ugly catch-22.
Things are
going to
tell you.
That
is what I had for you today, or I guess the angels have for you today.
I'm trying to hold on. Give me a second here. Unfortunately, my cards, since I've been moving, are packed.
Oh,
and I've been told, just follow my intuition.
That's always the best way to go, girl.
And right now, all I'm feeling is you are exactly where you're supposed to be. Things are going great for you. And just keep going and doing what you need to be doing. There's really nothing extra that they need to be telling you. The angels are saying that you are exactly where you need to be, doing exactly what you need to be doing. And you are the person that helps. They're saying where the situation that you're in now is perfect. Don't change a thing.
Okay.
And I'm trying to make it sound all profound, and it's just that simple. Don't change a thing.
Don't change a thing. All right. Okay. I will keep on trucking along.
Keep on keeping
Definitely.
On.
Definitely. So give us your contact information, if you would, please, especially how we can get Dragon Squadron. And I know that's available on Amazon, but go ahead and
Dragon Squadron is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I have a website, theworksoflmvit.com. Pretty much all one word. You can also find me on Facebook at Larissa M. Vitt, author. There is a Buy Now button. You can please like my page. If you do, you can be up to date on everything that it is, Dragon Squadron, my blog. You can see some of my artwork. Send me a message. Tell me what you think of the book. I'm always looking for reviews to add to my little collection on Amazon. I've got several of them.
Good reviews.
You can...
I did one of them.
What a coincidence. I did too. I think I did the first one just to get it started. You know,
I've read a lot of the reviews. They're really good.
Yeah, I was really surprised and really shocked and in awe and very appreciative of all the wonderful things that people said. People tell me how amazing I am, and I really don't think I am. I'm just me, and being just me, I just do what needs to be doing to get it done. And what I like to tell everybody is that to be an amazing person really doesn't take much. I managed to do it. Anybody can do it. Everybody has that. I think I mentioned this in my last in the last radio show, and I can't mention it enough, everybody has the possibility for greatness. Find out what you need to do and just do it.
Very true, very true. And there was a song that I did recently in Unity Village Chapel on a Sunday called I'm Amazing. And it says, in the chorus, it says, I'm amazing, I'm incredible, I'm a miracle, a dream come true, I'm wonderful, I'm marvelous, guess what? So are you. And it's so true, it's true of every single one of us.
Well, and here's the thing, we just had this conversation, I'm amazing, I'm a miracle, yes, it's true, and guess what? I am you.
Yes. Exactly. And that song covers that too. I'll send you the link sometime. I think you'd like that song. Kind of flavor. Let's go to Mike real quick so he can tell us what's coming up in the coming months of PRS. Take it away, Mikey.
All right. Coming up next month, October 16th, 17th, and 18th, we have our annual psychic fair. This will be our 45th. That's at 1601 North Universal in Kansas City. At the Howard Johnson Plaza, Kansas City Hotel and Conference Center, formerly the Ramada Inn. And then in November, on the 14th, we return to the Westwood, Kansas meeting location. That'll be Robin Stevens with a program on feng shui. And then December 5th, we have our annual holiday dinner and awards ceremony. All our members get to attend these for free, the meetings, that is. Non-members are welcome to join us for $5. And the psychic fair is $10 for the entire weekend. All of this and more information can be found on the website at prskc.org.
Yes, so thank you very much to Larissa.
Thank you for having
me. Amazing woman, L.M. Vitt. You are an inspiration. And that's what's inspirational about you, my dear. And thank you so much for being on the show tonight. And thank you to Mike for being my co-host. As always, you're wonderful.
Thank you, Mike, to the PRS.
Yes, thank you, Mike.
Welcome.
Thank you to the PRS for bringing us this wonderful program every week. Next week we have Matthew Gaines, who is a truth coach, and I think you're gonna. He's recently published a book that I think you're gonna find absolutely marvelous. So be sure to tune in. And we have a great amount of wonderful guests coming up after that. Hey, you know what? A week from tomorrow is my birthday. So October 7th, we have Sapphire. Thank you very much. We have Sapphire Moonbeam on October 7th. October 14th, we have Vanessa Knowles. October 21st, we have Dr. Mark McFarland, who's a chiropractor, and is going to talk to us about the iodine conspiracy, which is absolutely fascinating. So lots of interesting topics from art to truth coaching to healing to readings. It's just going to be a really, we got a great, great bunch of guests coming up. So thank you all, and have a very pleasant and wonderful evening. And Larissa, if you'll stay on the line, I'll be with you in just a minute. Cue that music.